Packers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Check in with our friend and teammate Jason Wilde, especially the week that the Green Bay Packers are taking on the Chicago Bears. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm struggling with the idea that you can describe someone as the most selfish teammate you've ever known and then say, but I got along great with him personally. Like, how is Chewy? How is that? Like, I cannot imagine getting along with someone who cares so much more about himself than he does about me as a teammate. Can you help me understand that?
I don't know. He was a nice guy off the field. The only thing that drove you nuts, and Jason, were you there on his back end?
No. He suffered that neck injury in what? 94
was his last year.
You know what game that was, too? I believe it was the last game.
Tampa Bay.
Oh, I thought it was the last game against Atlanta in County Stadium.
No, because he played. He had a good game against the Buccaneers the last game of the season and then missed the playoff game.
Jason, he's a really good guy off the field. The only thing off the field that you didn't like is he would not sign autographs for players and unless you sent it in the mail to him.
What?
I swear to God. Swear to God, my cousin wanted his autograph one time. I'm like, hey, Stro, can you show this? Nah, you got to send it in the mail. I'm like, okay, that tracks. But Jason, we all know Sterling loved the ball. He's a great receiver. But when his number didn't call, Jason, and I'm running like wide deep cross, and he's on the opposite side, and his job is to clear it out so I don't get killed, he's going three-quarter speed.
Yeah, not interested.
I don't want to play with you.
Great guy, though.
Great guy.
Yeah. Love him personally.
Yes.
I mean, Jason, this is also the same. I'm not going to say who Chewy was describing when he told me this, but he asked somebody that he's dealt with in his personal life of, he's a great guy. He's just a crook.
Who's that?
No.
He's described that person, somebody like that, to me as well. So this is just a part of who Chewy is, Jason.
Hmm. Was that his old quarterback he was describing that way?
That was good.
That's a good pop.
That was good. I'm trying to think of who it was.
Well, we'll discuss off the
air.
God, the number of times that we block for you, Chewy, here on this program.
I'm much better on Thursdays. Jason.
Better than Sterling Sharp.
Jason, does Goody value the locker room?
No, I don't. I mean, he says he does, but you know, I was listening to you guys, and look, I get what Jaden Reed said yesterday about his value in the locker room, Preston Smith. But you know, first of all, he did request a trade, right? Now, the question that I have for Goody, which I wish I would have had that information when we talked to him last Wednesday, is: did you trade him to honor the trade request, or if the Steelers had not called, would you have kept him? Because I thought it was really interesting that Goody made the comment about how there is risk with this trade, and when you move on from someone like Preston Smith, you're one or two injuries away from asking yourself, ooh, maybe that wasn't such a good idea, which I thought was a really interesting, honest look at his mentality about the trade. Now, that said, I don't think that that's a high priority for him, because Rasul Douglas last year was extremely popular, was a really good leader. I know there were people that thought, oh, he shoots his mouth off too much or whatever else. But a lot of that was not necessarily speaking truth to power, but certainly having his teammates back and being willing to talk to Joe Barry or whoever it might be. Matt LaFleur thought the world of Rasul Douglas. And obviously LaFleur has a much better feeling for the locker room, even though, you know, coaches still don't know all that either. They certainly aren't in there all the time invading players' space. I go back to one of my favorite movies, which is Moneyball, and I really do believe that the scene where Brad Pitt sends Jonah Hill on the road and says, I can't get personally connected to these guys. I am convinced that Goody believes that. And while Aaron Rodgers has plenty of foibles and plenty of things that I don't agree with, I do think that his position on that is accurate. And now, do I have a bias in favor of a guy like my friend John Schneider, who famously, there's a photo of him when the Seahawks went to the Super Bowl wearing like a wrestling belt in the locker room without a shirt on because he was more connected to the players? Yeah, is that a little, maybe a bridge too far? I know he's embarrassed by that photo.
He shouldn't be. That's an awesome picture.
Right, and it says how he connects with his players, even though sometimes he has to cut them or trade them. And so, again, Goody has his process. It's hard to argue with it. They've had a ton of success, although they have not won a Super Bowl on his watch. But I just think philosophically there are two kind of tent poles to his approach to being a general manager. One, it's a young man's game. And last year solidified that in his mind after he went against what he believed to keep the Rodgers veteran era group together, and it didn't yield the Super Bowl. And two, that he's not going to get connected to these players because he believes that he has to keep that distance in order to do his job well. And it's hard to argue with him because I don't think they're going to miss Preston Smith terribly, whereas last year I think they could have used Rasul Douglas. And the fact that they had some interest in corners at this year's trade deadline tells you that maybe they should have never traded Rasul Douglas to begin with.
Well, Jason, so I come down of maybe they are going, if somebody is being described in maybe somebody said this last year about Rasul Douglas and I don't remember it, but if Jaden Reed is stepping up and going, yeah, man, that guy's the heartbeat of the team. But correct me if I'm wrong, the heartbeat's pretty strong. Like, the heartbeat's a pretty big, important thing of anything. So how do they go about replacing that? Because at the end of the day, they traded away their oldest player, and they're still the youngest team in the league. Like, who steps up, and who is that new heartbeat? Who is that new leader?
Yeah, and look, I think it's important to point out biases. I try to point out mine at every turn. Jaden Reed and Preston Smith are pretty tight. Like, their lockers are next to each other. The two of them would always play this stupid game that I don't know how. I still don't understand all the rules, but the one where you face each other, and it's basically doing the opposite of mirroring each other. Like, if I pick my head up, you've got to point it down, and if I point right, you've got to point left, and I would be terrible at it. I can guarantee you that. But they played that every day. And there was definitely that area of the locker room, because unlike the old days when Chewy had that obnoxious locker in the corner that you couldn't get to, they are not grouped by position. Several years ago, LaFleur decided to kind of jumble up the locker room. So instead of having all the defensive linemen in one area, there's like Reed, Matt Orzech, the long snapper, Preston Smith's old locker. It's just a mishmash of guys at that end, right? And so I think, and again, I don't want to speak for Jaden Reed, but reading what he said yesterday, you know, I think that it's probably for him personally, Preston was the heartbeat of the team. But I would argue that there are two players, even though they're in their first year on this team, that have legitimately taken the leadership reins and have played extremely well, that I would view as the much bigger leaders. I'm not saying that Preston wasn't. Don't get me wrong. But I think Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney are much more impactful. Two guys that were captains on their previous teams. I think there's a connectivity to them that's much greater.
Jason Wilde joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs are the guys who you think already sort of exist as the heartbeat. So maybe there isn't as much of a void as we are led to believe by Jaden Reed's comments, Jason. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, I think that's a fair interpretation. I don't want to downplay that. Like, to Jaden Reed and probably to other players, Jaden Reed is saying how he feels. Who the hell am I to say that he's wrong? But what I'm saying is while he may feel that way to Jaden Reed, I'm not sure that the entire locker room, if I went through and talked to 25 guys, who is the heartbeat of this locker room before Preston Smith was traded? I'm sure there would have been some that would have said him, but it definitely wouldn't have been unanimous.
But if he's also someone, Jason, who's been giving pre- and post-game speeches...
Yeah, again, I'm not trying to undercut how valuable he may or may not have been, but I also think, like, guys tell us certain things and they don't tell us other things. Like, you know, several of the defensive linemen spoke yesterday, and they all claimed that they had no idea that Preston had asked for a trade. So how do you interpret that? Is that him keeping his dissatisfaction under wraps from his teammates and being a good leader, even though he didn't want to be on the team anymore? I don't know how to read that. Right? That seems like a disconnect. That here's a guy who is viewed as the heartbeat of the team and takes that responsibility seriously, going to management and saying, "I don't want to be here anymore." Right? That doesn't compute.
Jason, does it say anything to a Super Bowl ring, though? Because typically guys his age want to stay or go somewhere where they have the best chance at winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know. I think obviously I won't talk to him anymore now that he's in Pittsburgh. But I think I talked to Preston Smith twice this season. Like, I did that story about Jeff Hafley, and I talked to 12 different players, and he wasn't one of them. And it wasn't like I, you know, chose not to talk to him. Like, he very rarely was in the locker room during our access periods. He would talk after some games, but not all. And again, I'm not one of those, like, tattletales that is, like, running to the league saying, "Oh, this guy hasn't talked." Like, when it got as bad as it did with Jimmy Graham or Devondre Campbell, that was different. But, like, I don't think it was a major issue. But I can't really tell you that I have a great feel for where Preston Smith was at in terms of his personal goals or how he was feeling. All I know is that I think he had 2.5 sacks and 8 pressures at the time of his trading. And I think that's indicative of how disappointing that group as a whole has been, because the guy that they're giving $96 million to has 2.5 sacks and 20 pressures in 9 games. Their first-round pick last year has 1 sack and 6 pressures on the year. So, like, I don't really have a great feel for maybe a lot of those guys feel like they haven't quite figured out how to play in this defense, which, again, also doesn't make sense to me, because one of the biggest things we heard was how excited all those guys were up front to no longer have to read and react, and that they could just be one gap and get up the field, which to me sounds a lot easier and simpler than the other scenarios that they might have been in.
Good, Jason. I'm glad that you said that. That is exactly where I wanted to go with you next, because if you look at what Preston Smith did this past weekend with the Washington Commanders, he had 1 sack, 1 quarterback hit, 2 tackles for loss, 3 solo tackles. I went and looked back at his game log. I think he had a comparable stat line when they played the Tennessee Titans earlier this year. But does his immediate, quote-unquote, success with the Commanders indicate or hint that maybe the scheme is not suiting any of the guys that the Packers have. That if any of those guys went to another team and a different scheme, they might have immediate success.
Jen, I don't know. I really don't. Like, I didn't watch that game. I don't know. It feels like a lot of excuse making to me, frankly. I just don't believe it. None of these guys are having success. Because, look, Devontae Wyatt has success, right? I mean, he's played pretty well in this system before he hurt his ankle. So I don't know the answer to that. I really don't.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. We're going to continue this Preston Smith conversation because we got a lot of thoughts on it right here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Have a great one.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. Listen to him on Wilde and Tausch right after our show right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. I think there are a lot of layers and tentacles to this Preston Smith thing. So you may be saying, why are we talking so much about a guy who is no longer on the Green Bay Packers? Because there's so many little details that sort of give us a peek inside the dynamic of what is going on at 1265. So we will dive into that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. They've been serving businesses and individuals in the area for nearly 15 years, including a long-standing commitment to the healthcare industry. From expansion to treasury management, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions across the healthcare spectrum to meet the complex moments you're navigating. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Can I be Chuck Woolery?
Yeah, Tiny Mike.
Tiny Mike. Average.
I mean...
No, I want to ask the questions. Tiny Mike.
On 94.5 ESPN.